Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Reverend Dr. Michael Wilson.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I wanted to stand up and sing along on that last stanza. You are amazing. So thank you for the gift of that music. My name is Michael Wilson. I serve as the stated clerk of Donegal Presbytery, which is all of the Presbyterian churches in York and Lancaster and Chester County. We partner together in ministry and mission with Erin Cox Holmes, who is our executive presbyter. She and I are charged with leading the presbytery. We are the ones who show up in wonderful celebrations like this. We're the ones who show up in pastoral transition. We're the ones who show up in times of difficulty and challenge to offer support. And we, with the commission of this presbytery, are grateful to be here this morning to celebrate the ministry and mission of Jonathan and your call to him to move from covenant pastor to a fully installed pastor of this congregation. Jonathan, we are so grateful for your ministry, and we are delighted to celebrate with you and to celebrate you this morning. Delightful. Some of you, if we were to put an Excel spreadsheet up on the wall right now, you would be delighted. You would say, that is great. Some of you. And some of you would wonder how quickly you could get out of the room. To those of you who are delighted by things like that, I want to say something to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ today. And it might not be what you expect. And to those of you who are frightened by it, I want to say something to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ today. And it might not be what you expect. Let us pray. God, we want now to turn to your word, to be shaped by it. And so we ask, O Lord, that it would come with grace and with truth, that we might hear you speak for the sake of our Savior. Amen. These are words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, starting at the beginning of chapter 3. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery that is made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. Which is ironic, because he's never short. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration, Jonathan, the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God in freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. So in 1899, Felix Hoffmann was working with salicylic acid, trying to discover ways that it could be a medicine that was, in his words, less irritating. He came up with acetylsalicylic acid. And does anybody know what that is?
Aspirin.
He invented aspirin. He was working for the Bayer Company. And now we have Bayer. In that same year, America went to war with the Philippines. That war went on until 1904. They did not achieve independence again until after World War II. In that same year was the Great Blizzard. It reached negative 62 in Montana. It reached negative 40 in the South. The Mississippi River froze over. It got into the negative 30s out there on the Jersey Shore. And in that same year, 23 people gathered in a little tavern in a town that had just been named after, They lit candles, and they started this congregation. In the midst of a world that was experiencing amazing scientific discoveries, in the midst of a world that was experiencing huge challenges, they gathered in confidence that the gospel of Jesus Christ needed to be preached in this place, and that people and the world needed to be transformed. We're part of the Scotch-Irish heritage, Presbyterians are. James Webb tells us that in this part of the country, William Penn, who was a Quaker and a pacifist, gave land grants to the Scotch-Irish immigrants who had come over from Scotland and Ireland because he wanted people who were committed to freedom and who were willing to fight to live in this area. And he says that people from that heritage were good at four things. We were good at fighting. We were good at singing. We were good at drinking. And we were good at praying. That's our four. If you are not from the Scotch-Irish heritage, when you step into congregations like this, you step into a group of people for whom that's our heritage. Sometimes we don't get along too well. That's when we get called. Sometimes we sing beautifully. We're one of the only people who have a drink named after where we came from, right? Vodka is not called Russia, but Scotch is called Scotch. I didn't do it. And we pray with conviction about a God who created and loves and rules this world in Jesus Christ. So if you're from California, or if you've lived in Texas, or if you're from the Wesleyan tradition and you root for the Cowboys, when you come into this tradition, you step into that. Now I'm going to tell you, in many ways, this world is not that world of 1899. We now carry around these things, in which there is more computing power than it took to get the mission to the moon and back. I want you to think about that. Most of you carry around in your pockets something that was that has more power to it, more capacity to it, than what it took to escape the orbit of the Earth, get safely across the expanse of space, land in a different place, and come back alive. That's the world that you and I live in. It's a different world. And it takes different gifts. It takes different gifts and capacities than it took in that world to survive and to thrive. When Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he writes himself as someone who has experienced an extraordinary change. He started his life, of course, as a Jew. He became a leader of the Jews. He experiences one transformation when he discovers the glory of Jesus Christ, but he experiences something else altering when he is arrested and sent to Rome and imprisoned. And he finds himself in a place in life where he never expected and where it would be extremely tempting for him to just give up. If you're here like that today, there's something to be said to you from this text. He writes to a church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a huge city. It was the center of commerce for the area in which it lived. There was a temple of Artemis there. People came all the time. It wasn't Rome. It wasn't where the political power rested. It was a center of commerce. It was Philadelphia. People came and went from all across the known world in that area, be there right now. And it was experiencing extreme transformation. Its harbor was reducing. People were anxious about the future. They wondered what to do. And from a place of that kind of change to a people who were experiencing a great amount of change, Paul says this: they are to administer the gospel of Jesus Christ. The task he gives them is administration. The task he gives them is administration, John. I want to tell you a little bit about my first encounter with the word administration. I was in seventh grade, and there was an altercation during gym. It was dodgeball. It got a little out of hand. And afterwards, in the locker room, there was a tussle. When the teacher had dragged us apart, he said to us, "You will now go see the administration." At which point I thought I was going to die. We went up. We sat. They talked to us. They went away. They talked. They talked to us again. And they sent us away. They brought us back with our parents, where they talked to us more. And then they went away and they talked more. And then they came back and they talked to us more. It was a lot of talking. And we survived. Since then, I have often wondered if people experience the administration as something far off and scary, where you talk a lot. Our presbytery has a department of administration. That department is responsible for the budgets, for the policies, for making sure that things work well and run on time. And you are installing today a pastor for administration. Now, what I didn't say when I came up here is that one of the reasons Jonathan asked me to speak today is because I taught him Presbyterian polity. It's really a dangerous thing, Jonathan, to ask a former professor to come and speak, because I have notes about you. The first thing I will say, which I didn't need any notes for, is that my first experience of Jonathan was his big I don't have any concerns, Jonathan, that people, when they meet you, would find you scary. I don't. This is what I wrote about Jonathan's final exam. Super job. You clearly understand our polity and make great connections between the sections of the Book of Order and applicable ministry situations. Your writing, because I care about writing, is clear and concise. These were my final comments to him. It was a pleasure to have you in class. You have a wonderful facility to engage in the content of the class and in conversation with others. Thank you for your participation and leadership. You demonstrate a great facility with the Book of Order and with many ministry situations. I look forward to future conversations and partnership as you move forward in the ordination process in the PCUSA. I don't have any concerns about your ability to administrate. So I want you and you to hear this next part very clearly. I'm a fan of administration. I'm the stating clerk of the presbytery. When people have questions about Robert's rules, they call me and we look at policies and talk about them. Erin Cox Holmes is our executive professor, is in charge of the budget of the presbytery. With her, we work on that, we communicate it, we make sure it's clear and transparent, and we're really hard at that. And that matters. That matters. It matters for the safety of children, that there's a clear children's protection policy that you follow and helps them be safe. It matters for trust in a congregation that budgets are clearly explained and people are clearly invited to participate with the stewardship of the resources that God has given to you. That matters, but listen, it is not sufficient. It's not. The way Paul puts that is he says we are going to administer the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by mystery, he does not mean something you cannot know. What he means is that it is something and someone that you cannot control. When you and I step into the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we step outside of that which we know, that which we can put into a box in an Excel spreadsheet and give a formula so it comes out the way that we want, into the presence and power of someone who means to use every situation in our lives to transform us and you. Jonathan and your other pastor's role is not just to write things down so that you can understand them. It is to be present with and for you when your life shifts. When you step into unexpected locations, when you wake up and get a phone call from a doctor with an unexpected report, when you walk into work and the world has shifted, when you come to church and discover that the things that we have done, the music styles that we have had, the way that we have preached, the ways that we have treated one another do not work for this coming age. And we are now in the presence of Almighty God who means to change us in order to transform the world. Jonathan, if you remember Ronald Heifetz, who we read in class, which you do, right?
Yes.
The first piece, the administration piece, is technical leadership. And we need it. You need it. I need it. When I go see the doctor, I do not want the doctor to say, well, this is a mystery. I want the doctor to say, here's what to do. But we ultimately know that even in that space, those people say, this is a mystery. And when we come here, we know we step out of those places which we control into the presence of God. The time has come for congregations and people that thrived in 1899 and 1839 and 1999 to step into the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which according to Paul is taking risks and doing experiments and broadening ourselves outside of our own walls into the problems and opportunities of the communities around us. That's your pastor of administration's job, along with the other pastors of this congregation. Jonathan, if I could change your job title, you would become the associate pastor for administration and mystery, so that both are present when anyone comes into your office. Paul says that the chief enemy in that space is discouragement. It's not confidence. That's what Americans thrive on. We thrive on being confident. He's not concerned about that. He says it's discouragement. Brené Brown, who has written extraordinarily well about this, says the physics of life mean that if you try something, eventually you fall down. So I'm at the airport yesterday, back from a conference, and I see this family coming towards me, small kid, and he's running, and he goes down. I mean, he goes down hard. His parents go, "Are you okay?" And he bounces up, and he says, "This is great!" And he starts running again. You know, we're three, we're good at stuff like that. And you can be too with your life at 15 and 20 and 30 and 50 and 70 and 90. If, instead of being discouraged, you lift your vision to the mystery of the extraordinary grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then when you fall, and you will, you get up and you go, "This is great. I need to keep on going." Jonathan, administer well. Make the spreadsheets right. Make the policies clear. I mean, they need it. And when they come into your office, help them through the mystery as well. Congregation, when he calls and says, "Sign the form, sign it." When he asks you to increase your pledge, increase it. And when your life slides into mystery, go see him. Amen. Let me pray with you. God, thank you for Jeff and for Becca and for Jonathan, for their work here, for your work in and through their lives. We pray for them as they lead in administration and mystery in this place. And God, I pray for this congregation that you take them into places of extraordinary hopefulness and resilience for all that is ahead for them and for us.